A bit easier. Right, what are we going to do this morning? Let's remember. So, kids, this is what I want to do this morning, okay? Last time we had a learning together service, we talked about all the stuff that you've been doing upstairs, didn't we? In the book of Exodus, and we asked you loads of questions, and you tried to give us the answers. How about this morning? We're going to talk about some of the stuff that the adults have been learning downstairs. Now, do you reckon that they're remembering it? What do you think? If I ask them a few questions, do you reckon they'll know? Or will you enjoy watching them kind of squirm around a bit and like, we weren't listening? That's what we're going to try and do. But don't worry, even if you don't know the stories, we're going to talk about some stuff about a really important thing. We're talking downstairs at the moment about a guy called Abraham. Now, you've all heard of Abraham, haven't you? Anyone not heard of Abraham?
Yeah.
Oh. I said, anyone not heard of Abraham? Good. Everyone's heard of Abraham. Now, Abraham is called the father of something. Who knows what Abraham is the father of? Yeah, Joey? Father of many. That's a good answer. Not the answer I'm looking for, but he's the father of a great nation, wasn't he? God promised him a great nation. Anyone else? Any adult? Adults should be answering, shouldn't they? Adults. What was Abraham the father of? Faith. Abraham was the father of faith. Have we got a PowerPoint? So we're going to talk about faith today. We're going to talk about five things about faith. Five things that a life that has faith in it, that trusts God, five things that should come out of that life. So there's your first slide, faith. Now, what is faith? We've got to understand that first, haven't we? What is faith? Faith is, and let's read the verse, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says these words, faith is the assurance, so that's being certain about something. You're definite, you know it for certain, you're sure. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, that's another word about being sure about something, you know something's true and you know it's right, the conviction of things not seen. Things not seen. Now, let me ask you a question. How easy is it to believe that I'm wearing a grey hoodie this morning? Is that quite easy? Is it grey? Is it a hoodie? I'll prove it to you. It's a hoodie. That's quite easy, isn't it, to believe that? How many of you have been to Australia? Jen, that's it. And a few kids pretending. How many of you believe that Australia is real? Anyone not believe Australia is real? Anyone not believe Australia is really there? Anyone going to be controversial other than my son? We all believe Australia's there, don't we? But only Jen can tell us for definite that it's there. And Shari and Jeff. They've seen it. They wouldn't put their hands up, though. They've seen it, and so they know. But we trust that Australia's there, don't we? Now, that's a pretty easy thing to trust because you can go on the internet and type it in and it tells you about Australia and we've met Australian people with crazy voices and all that kind of stuff. It's quite easy to believe that Australia is real. But that's a little bit of what faith is. Now, faith is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian, isn't it? So what do we believe when we're Christians that we can't see? Well, the slide gives you a little bit of an indicator, doesn't it? What's at the heart of what we believe as Christians? Yeah? Jesus, isn't it? Now, let me ask you a question. And some of you are going to be super spiritual when you answer this. But how many of you have met Jesus? I mean, actually seen him, talked to him, face to face. I know there's a super spiritual answer. Just like, don't bother. None of us have we? How long ago did Jesus live on the earth? 2,000 odd years ago. More than 1 year. 2,000 years ago. Lots of shouting. Jesus lived on the earth 2,000 years ago, didn't he? So none of us have ever met him. None of us looked him in the eye. None of us talked to him. None of us went to his house for dinner. None of us stood there when the most important thing in Jesus' life happened, did we? We weren't there when you could have seen Jesus hanging on a Roman cross. We weren't there when that stone got rolled away. That would be pretty awesome to have been there, but we weren't there, were we? We weren't there when Jesus walked out of the tomb and started walking through walls and stuff. We weren't there. We haven't seen it. And yet, what it means to be a Christian is to be so convinced that that's true. And that when Jesus died, he wasn't just a man dying on a cross because he'd done some stuff to annoy some people. He was God dying for our sin. He was God dying in our place, taking the punishment we deserved. We believe that so much. We believe with certainty that Jesus really did rise from the dead. No normal person rises from the dead, do they? So Jesus was proven he was God. We believe that so much that by faith we trust that that's the way that we can be saved, that we can find new life, that we can be forgiven, that we can one day go and be with God in heaven. And all the people in this room, and there's a lot of them who've trusted in Jesus and know they're going to heaven, we have different stories, don't we, of how God has convinced us that that's true and that Jesus really was who he said he was and that he really did die in our place and he really did rise from the dead, proving that he was the Son of God. God has convinced us and we're certain, even though we can't see it. That's what it means to be a Christian. And you know what? If you're here this morning and you kind of know you haven't come to that place of trust in Jesus, then let me give you an amazing prayer. An amazing prayer. It's actually on your sheet, kind of, on the back, on that colouring. Would you ask God to show you that he's real? Just ask him. Because you can't see him, but he can hear you. He's still there. In fact, he's right here in this room today. He sees your heart, he sees your mind, and he's going to hear every word you say, even when we can't hear it. So ask him, Jesus, will you show me for definite that this stuff is true? And then when he does that, I'm convinced that he will, you know. If you ask genuinely and you really want to know, I'm convinced that he'll show himself to you. And you will meet him in a different way to face, but you will meet him and find new life. Right, five things that faith does for those that have it. Who knows what this is? Very good mobile phone. It's a sat nav, isn't it? So we try and turn it on. Let's see if this works. Always working. What does a sat nav do? This is for kids now. We'll get onto the adults in a second. What does a sat nav do? Yeah, someone down here. What does a sat nav do? Tells you where you're going to go. Yeah, that's true. Where do we want to go? Where to? Australia. Australia. Let's try it. Spell town. Oops. What did I do? Where to? Address. Oh, I put a 4 in the middle of it. That was wrong. Australia. Sadly, no matches found. The sat nav does not believe that Australia is real. Ah, shocking. Shocking. Here's what a sat nav does. It tells you where you're going to go, doesn't it? And what do you do when you've got a sat nav in your car? It's got that annoying voice and it tells you, at the next roundabout, take the second exit onto this road, yeah? And what do we do? If you want to use your sat nav properly, what do you do?
Follow.
You follow it. Well done. Well done. You got the word. Wow, bonkers colour that, isn't it? Wasn't quite supposed to be that colour. We follow it, don't we? Yeah? You follow a sat nav if you want to go where you want to go. Right? But I want to say that God is a little bit different to a sat nav, actually. He's a little bit different. Let me ask the adults this question. When did Abraham follow God? Any adult going to tell me chapter and verse and what happens? When did Abraham follow? Come on. Someone put their hand up. Sophie. Genesis chapter 12 and what happens? Yep. That's it. Genesis 12, God said to Abraham, get up, leave your home, leave your family, go where I'm going to show you. But here's the thing. Did God tell Abraham where he was going to go? He didn't, did he? See, with a sat nav, this has trouble finding satellites now. Shame. With a sat nav, we tell it where it's going to go, don't we? So we decide, right, I want to go to McDonald's, and we type in McDonald's. We want to go to so-and-so's house, and we type in their postcode. But it isn't that way with God, is it? When God leads us, who decides where we're going to go? God does, doesn't he? He decides where we're going to go. And so it takes faith, doesn't it, to believe and to follow God when you don't know where you're going. How many of us know where we're going to be in a year's time? We might well be sitting in the same chair in this room. That's possible. But do you know? We don't know, do we? We don't know where we're going. We don't know where God's leading us. We don't know where he's going to tell us to go. And so what does it take? It takes faith. Faith means trusting that God is good, trusting that he has a good plan, even though we can't see it. We can't see where we're going to be in a year's time or where we're going to be in 5 years or 10 years. But we trust that God knows what he's doing. Do you think it was easy for Abraham to get up and leave his home and leave his family and all that stuff? Of course it wasn't. It was hard. But he did it because he trusted that God had a good plan, that God knew what he was doing, and God was going to take him to an amazing place. So faith follows. Faith listens to God and does what he says. Right, next thing. What does the next slide say? Faith makes us, what's it say?
Generous.
I don't often have this, but I actually happen to have a load of money lying around in my house this morning. So look at this. 20, 40, 60, 85 pounds. Look at that. I got some money.
What?
I forgot to tithe. That's it. What? Come sit down. I owe you money. Faith makes us generous. Now, is it easy? Kids, let me ask you. If, and I'm not going to do it, okay, sadly, but if I gave you this money this morning, do you think it would be easy for you to give it away to someone? Or would it be really easy to put it in your wallet or your purse or under your pillow or whatever and hide it away for the day when you want to go to the shop and buy, I don't know, Match Attacks, a doll, a car, something great? That's what you'd want to do, isn't it? But faith makes us generous. Faith makes us willing to give away the stuff that we have to someone who needs it. Now, adults, your turn again. Let's have a better response than last time, please. When was Abraham generous? Two times I can think of. Yeah, Jenny? That's it? Well done. So Abraham allowed Lot to choose the best land, didn't he? And so Abraham was there and their herdsmen were fighting, the Bible says. They were having wars between all the people working on the fields. And Abraham said to Lot, this isn't working. We need to separate. You choose the best place. Now, inside of us, there's this thing that says, choose the best place for yourself, isn't there? But Abraham was willing to let someone else choose what was best and to go with what was left over. Can anyone think of a second time Abraham was generous? Yeah, that's it. He tithed to Melchizedek. And do you know what else he did? Oil, all the spoil he got from his war he went on, he gave it to the king of Sodom, didn't he? So was Abraham really greedy for stuff? He wasn't, was he? Why? Why do you think Abraham wasn't greedy? He knew that God would provide. That's it. He trusted that God would provide. Now, there's another question. Can we see the money that we're going to get next month or the month after or next year? And can we see it? We can't, can we? And we live in a world that isn't totally secure. Jobs aren't totally secure. That kind of thing isn't totally secure. But faith trusts that God is going to do what? Provide for us. Yeah? That God is going to give us what we need. Doesn't always give us what we want. He gives us what we need. And when you trust that God's going to give you what you need, what can you do with the stuff that you have? You can give it away, can't you? That there's a famous prayer, isn't there? Where we pray and we ask God to give us this day our what? Kids, what do we ask for? Daily bread, don't we? So we ask God to give us what we need tomorrow. Is that what it says? Do we ask him to give us tomorrow's? No, we ask him to give us today's. Give us what we need today and the rest of it, actually, we can give away because tomorrow we're going to pray. Give us today our daily bread. Doesn't mean you need to empty your banks and give everything away, but it means we trust God for what we need now, and we can give away what we have that we don't need. So faith makes us generous. Right, next one. Don't put the slide up yet. I want to ask you a question. My kids, keep your mouths closed. Does anyone know what the bravest animal in the world is? Anyone know? Anyone going to guess? Joey, what's your guess for the bravest animal in the world?
A lion.
An ant. That's not a bad guess, I don't reckon. Because if you're tiny, it's pretty daunting, isn't it, with loads of big animals around. That's a good call, I reckon. Ellen, what do you reckon? Porcupine? Maybe. Yeah? Anna, what do you reckon? Oh, at the back there? A lion? Yeah, I think that's an obvious guess. Hamster? Anna, what do you think? What do you reckon the bravest animal is? A tiger. Cool, all good guesses, but unfortunately, they're all wrong, sadly. So let's put the next slide up. My visual aid. All right, my visual aid for this is a panda, simply because it's the same color as that. That's it. You don't get cuddly versions of these because they're so intense that if you made a cuddly version, they would hunt you down and destroy you, okay? These guys are nuts. Anyone know what that is? Joey?
It's a honey badger.
It's a rock badger. I don't know if they're the same thing. It might be the same thing. I'm not sure. But I'm not an expert. So you might be right. We'll have to Google it later. But the name I found for it is a rock badger, right? These guys are so nuts. Well, they kill poisonous snakes. That's the first thing. But you know what these guys are willing to do? Let's throw the panda back because that was a bit of a waste of time. These guys, one of them, okay, just one of them, is willing to face up to a whole pride of lions, right? How brave is that? Just one of them, not a big group of them, going to jump on their backs and stuff. Just one of them will face up to a whole pride of lions. Now, adults, your turn again. Can you think of a time when Abraham was courageous, when he was brave? Alan? Yeah, that's a very good answer. We haven't got there yet, though. So it's not valid, unfortunately. Sorry. It's a good answer. Yeah, Michelle? Going to rescue Lot. That's it. So Lot got caught up in a battle, didn't he? Abraham's nephew, after they separated. And these kings, or five kings, I think it was, came and then fought against Sodom, which is where Lot lived. And Lot got carried away captive. So you've got five kings, right, with all their army behind them, and they've taken Lot, and Abraham hears. Lot's been taken captive. Now, what would you do? The Bible says he took about 350-odd men, right? You've got 350 men, and you're going to go and fight against five kings. Is that good odds? Do you think you're going to win?
Yeah,
350 men versus five armies. You're going to win? Probably not, right? That's just real. So what did it take for Abraham to run after his nephew, to chase after these kings, and to fight, yeah? Sorry? The armor of God, that's a good picture of it, isn't it? Because God makes us brave, and he protects us. He protects us, and Abraham knew that. So Abraham, at this point, was trusting God. He knew that God had promised him some amazing things. He knew God was going to give him some amazing things. And so, bravely, he runs after Lot and rescues him. And if we trust that God's on our side, who do we need to be afraid of? We sing a song like that, don't we? Who should we fear? Do we need to fear anyone? No, we don't, do we? The God of, what, angel armies is by my side. He's with me, and he's with you. He's with us together. How brave should that make us? We shouldn't worry about anything, should we? We still do sometimes, unfortunately. But when we trust that God's there, when we trust that he's with us, it should make us brave to do anything he calls us to do. No matter how hard it is, no matter how dangerous it might be, no matter who's there against us, we should be able to do it. Okay, next one. Faith helps us accept. Now, this is getting more tenuous, all right? I do warn you. But adults, can anyone think of a time when Abraham accepted something that was difficult to accept, difficult to take in? I'll give you a clue. Last week. It's only 7 days ago. He said he was going to have kids. And how old was he? How old was he last week? 100. 100 years old. Anyone ever known a 100-year-old have a kid? Abraham, yeah. Anyone else know another 100-year-old who's had a kid? No, they don't. It doesn't happen like that, does it? 100-year-olds don't have children. And God was telling Abraham, you're going to have a son yourself. And not just one of these kind of men you've adopted because of your extended family type thing. Not just that man. You're going to have one of your own sons. You're going to have one of your own children. And Abraham's standing there, isn't he? He's thinking, how on earth is that going to happen? How on earth can I have children? My wife's old as well. Not quite as old as me, but she's pretty old. How? How? And then what does the Bible say? That God made Abraham look up at the stars. And he says to him, I'm going to give you as many descendants as there are stars in the sky. And the Bible says, Abraham believed God. Didn't make sense. There was no logical reason it was going to happen. He just believed that God was telling the truth. And that's what being a Christian is all about sometimes. Sometimes God tells us stuff, and we read stuff in the Bible. He maybe tells us to do stuff even, and we don't understand, do we? And we're like, I can't get that. I can't take it in. I can't understand it. It's too hard for me. If I was to think with my own mind and logically work it out, it would probably be different to that. But faith helps us to accept. Faith helps us to say, you know what, I may not understand, but God does know what he's talking about. I may not get it. I may not see how it's going to happen. I may not see the end, but God does. And so I trust him. I accept what he says above what I might think. Okay, last thing. And this is really, really important. I wish I could have brought a deck chair in here as a visual aid to sit down in and do this last point, but I don't really have a deck chair. But I don't have a deck chair. So there we go. Just pretend I'm sitting in a deck chair right now. And this is where it gets really tenuous, but it is important. Faith helps us rest. Now this one, Abraham got wrong. All the rest, he seemed to do pretty well on. So he followed God. He was generous with people because he trusted God was going to provide for him. He had courage to go after his nephew because he knew God was with him. He accepted stuff even though it didn't make sense to him. But there was a time in Abraham's life when he didn't rest in the promises of God. Now, is anyone, and this is like double gold star if you get this one, is anyone going to tell me a time in Abraham's life when he didn't rest in the promises of God? That's it. When he decided that he was going to fulfill the promise of God himself. That's what he did. That's the bit we missed out. So if you got that, you must have read on, which is, you know, double gold star. Well done. It's the bit we might look at on Thursday. But Abraham decided, I'm going to fulfill the promise of God myself. I'm going to go out and I'm going to make sure it happens my way. Okay? But this is really important for us. And when it comes down to the heart of what it means to be a Christian, faith helps us rest. But sometimes the truth is, we try and fulfill the promise of God our own way, don't we? What's God promised us in Christ? He's promised us forgiveness, freedom from our sin. He's promised us a home waiting for us in heaven. He's promised us all these great things, all these amazing things. Nothing else in the world can come close to what God has promised us in Christ. But here's the thing. Sometimes we try and fulfill that promise ourselves. Sometimes we go out and we try and do things to get that stuff for ourselves. You know, actually, as human beings, it's kind of the way we're wired to live, isn't it? And so we think, you know what, if I went to church every Sunday for the next, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years, if I make sure I pray every morning when I get up before I do anything else, if I make sure I read and I study the Bible loads and loads and loads and I get to understand it more and more, if I make sure I help people and I serve people and I give my money away and I do all of this, and if I do all of that, then God will give me forgiveness. Then he'll give me freedom. Then he'll take me to heaven. And it's so easy to think that way. And the truth is, all of us, no matter how mature or strong we are as Christians, we all fall into that way of thinking sometimes. We all fall into the way of thinking, you know what, if I do well, God will love me. If I do badly, man, I need to pray loads to make up for it and kind of get over the bad stuff I've done. We all think like that sometimes. But that isn't the gospel. That isn't the good news. The good news is that we can rest. Abraham could have rested. To a certain degree, he could have just sat back and said, you know what, God's going to fulfill this promise. I may have ideas about how I can do it. I may have plans as to how I can do it. But you know what, God's going to do it. I trust him. I rest. And as Christians, we can do that. Do you know, you don't need to do a single thing this morning to make God love you more. Not a single thing that could even make that happen. You don't need to. He loves you right now. However you are, whatever you've done, whatever week you've had, wherever you've been, whatever you've said, whatever you've thought, he loves you right now, sitting in your seat at this moment. He loves you. And there's nothing you can do to change that. Nothing you can do to make it better, make it his love bigger. There's nothing you can do. He loves you. And so you can rest in that. We need to trust him. We need to believe that's true. That's our only thing we have to do. And you can do that right now. You can say to him right now in your seat, Lord, whether you've known that in the past and kind of realized you've moved away from it a little bit, whether it's the first time you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know what, I've never really heard it like this before. I've never really heard that God loves me regardless of what I do. But it's the truth. And you can say to him right now, I believe that. I trust that. Thank you that you love me. You know that's true because when did Jesus die? 2,000 years ago, before you'd done good, before you'd done bad, before you were even born. He demonstrated his love for you in that he sent his son into this world to die for you so you could be forgiven. It takes faith to believe that. It takes faith to believe that's true and to rest and to say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you've done everything. I can't add anything to what you've done. And you know what? This is what happens. When we get that, when we understand that he's done everything, when we understand that just like a deck chair, we can sit back and rest in the grace of God and rest in the love of God and rest in his forgiveness. What does that make you want to do? It makes you want to get up off your deck chair and do anything you can to glorify him, to honor him, to please him, to love him, to serve him, because he's done everything for you. That's the truth. Abraham didn't rest in the promises of God, but we today can rest in the promises he's made to forgive us, to save us, to take us all the way to heaven and to be with him forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the privilege of studying Abraham down here together. Thank you for the great example and also the bad example he was as well for us to learn from. Thank you above all that you are a God who is faithful. Lord, this isn't really about us, it isn't about Abraham at all, it's about you. You're the one who loves us. You're the one who's given your son for us. You are the one who's promised us eternal life, if only we'll trust you, if only we'll believe that you've done everything necessary to save us. And Lord, I pray that that would be real for all of us today, that we wouldn't go out from this place and try and be better this week to somehow make you love us. Lord, forgive us for the times we do that. We're sorry. Help us to realize the truth and help us to trust you because you are faithful. Thank you again for all you are, all your goodness to each one of us now. And I just pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.